This is Todd Coburn of Cal Poly Pomona with the Aerospace Structure Series.
Today I want to talk a little bit about fatigue. We divided our study of fatigue into a few lectures. The first one shows you the basis of our fatigue approach. Basically, it involves taking one piece of information, that is FTU, and using that to derive the entire fatigue curve. Fatigue curve is what we call the SN curve. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to take FTU. We're going to use FTU to approximate the endurance limit, S sub E. We're also going to use it to approximate the transition point between low and high cycle fatigue. We're going to assume that all the materials that we use behave similar to a steel, in that the first inflection point of the SN curve is at 1,000 cycles. The second inflection point of the SN curve is at 1,000,000 cycles. And we go, and the transition point from low to high cycle fatigue is at the stress level, the fully reversed stress level of little f times FTU. If we have a steel, we will use the equation that I provided to approximate the value of little f for that steel. This will also be a function of FTU, keeping our analysis simple and based on only one piece of information. If we have any other material, such as aluminum, titanium, magnesium, whatever, we will assume that F, little f, is actually 0.9 rather than using the formula for steels. This also keeps our work simple, and based on my review, it appears to be conservative for many of the materials we're going to use. Therefore, we're going to use FTU as FTU. We're going to use it to approximate little f. We're going to use it to approximate S sub E. And with these 3 points, we will have the entire SN curve. Our first lecture teaches us all about that. In our second lecture, we learn more about the endurance limit. These are lectures, 3 and 4, I believe. 3 is for our basic fatigue approach. Lecture 4 is for our endurance limit adjustment. When we look at the table in the handbook, we find out how to approximate S sub E prime from FTU. S sub E prime is what we're going to call the pristine endurance limit. That is like a perfect, sinless endurance limit that has perfect surface finish, no stress concentrations, and no other effects that cause a reduction in S sub E. We're then going to use Marin factors to adjust that pristine perfect endurance limit to the actual more representative value for whatever part we encounter. S sub E prime is simply a factor of FTU. For steels, that's 0.5. For aluminum and titaniums, we're going to use 0.4 as close enough for government work. Also, in the table provided in the handbook, you'll notice there are some cutoff values that are recommended by various researchers, which means we're not going to use an S sub E prime that's higher than the cutoff value. One of the most common students' mistakes is for them to ignore that cutoff value when they're using S sub E prime. Once we have that, we will then use the Marin factors that are defined in section 3.4 of the handbook and in lecture 4. Once we have a more representative value of S sub E, once we've learned about that after passing lecture 4, we will then always use S sub E. However, anytime we have a material, where we don't have enough information to change the Marin factor, say for temperature or for surface or whatever, then we will just assume that that Marin factor is 1. That keeps our analysis simple. Once we have understood our approach using the Paris equation to define the 3 segments of the SN curve, and we've learned how to adjust our endurance limit to a more representative value, we then are ready to go on and look and notice that all of the fatigue analysis we did in the lectures 3 and 4 is basically for what's called a fully reversed stress state. If you read the handbook carefully, you'll see that's for a perfect round sample loaded in bending that rotates such that at any point on that section, at the minimum section, transitions from full compression to full tension and back again, nice and smoothly. There are a few aircraft parts that actually behave like this, but most aircraft parts will be subjected to completely different loads. And therefore, when we encounter other loads, other than a fully reversed stress state, remember, fully reversed means we're going from some tension value to exactly the same compression value in a smooth manner. A repeated load goes from 0 to some positive value and back again. A general stress state will go from one stress level to another stress level. It could be positive to less positive. It could be positive to negative. It could be positive, negative to negative, to more negative. Generally, if a part is loaded in only compression, we will typically not do a fatigue analysis. It's usually tension that causes fatigue failures. There are 2 major effects that cause fatigue. 1, the higher the stress level, the more chance of fatigue, the repeated stress level. And 2, the larger the difference between the maximum and minimum stress. Remember, that's called the range stress. The difference between the max and min value of stress, and the larger that is, the more chance of fatigue. What this implies is, for many parts, if you have a very high stress, but the stress hardly changes, just fluctuates slightly, like maybe a KSI or 2, that's probably less likely to fatigue than a part that's loaded to a lower stress, maybe 20,000 PSI, but has a larger range stress, like positive 20 to minus 60 or something. So in the lecture 5, we will learn how to convert any stress state we find into a fully reversed stress state. Once again, we're going to assume that we only have 1 type of stress and that that stress can repeats itself over and over. We'll learn how to deal with different stresses in the following lecture. What this means is, let's say we have a repeated stress. That means 0 to some positive value. To convert that or any other stress, what we'll have to do is first we'll characterize our stresses a little differently. We're going to calculate the maximum stress and the minimum stress. We're going to use these 2 values to calculate the mean and the alternating stress. Now, if there is a feature that causes a change in the cross section such that a stress concentration will occur, we will then have to find what is the theoretical stress concentration factor. We will adjust that using the notch sensitivity factor to turn that theoretical stress concentration factor into a fatigue stress concentration factor. We will multiply our mean and alternating stresses by that fatigue stress concentration factor and then use those to determine our equivalent fully reversed stress state. Now, in order to do that, let me caution you before we go further. In general fatigue analysis, we are going to apply our fatigue stress concentration factor to both the mean and alternating stresses. That will be our general approach. However, there are many applications where folks that have researched it have determined that theoretical stress concentration factor should only be applied to one or the other of those stresses. Once again, we're going to apply it to both mean and alternating stresses for our general approach. Later, though, when we get to welds, we will come up with a slightly different approach, and there's some other applications where you might encounter that in industry. Okay? All right. So having done that, now we have the mean and alternating stress. We've adjusted both by the fatigue stress concentration factor. Our next step is to turn that into a fully reversed equivalent stress. In order to do that, we've got a little trick, because we have to first determine what failure mode are we going to use.